We all got skills. We have talents and we have passions. But mine happens to be sex. This is the Fun Sexual Podcast with your oversharing swinky best friend, Majesty. And I'm talking sex and all of the ways and all of the things that make sex, well, fun.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Fun Sexual Podcast, okay? Before I even introduce myself, I would like to throw out a trigger warning. I am going to be talking about some things that can be triggering for some people. I am going to be talking about consensual non-consent, also known as rape play. So if that is something that is or could be triggering to you, I would maybe not listen to this episode. All right. Noted. So my name is Majesty. That's M-A-J-E-S-T-Y-Y-Y. I need all three of my Y's, y'all. I am so tired of people hitting me up and putting one Y. I don't know who one Y Majesty is. I'm 3-Y Majesty. I don't even know who 2-Y Majesty is. I'm 3-Y Majesty. That is done on purpose, and I put it on everything. Like, that's my name. That is my name. So when I get that one Y Majesty, I'm like, I just don't know who that is. Please stop calling me by someone else's name, because that ain't me, all right? I also go by Maj to my friends, or Mistress Majesty to the good boys and girls. But people on the internet and some people in my real life who have dropped money in my bank account know me as the motherfucking Play Party Princess. Play Party Princess. Because I host some of the fucking most phenomenal, dopest play parties you could ever go to, you know. Okay. I didn't have a lot of energy. You know, it's not even energy. I didn't have the time to like put together a fit today. I'm throwing this episode together on a whim. It's still planned out and it's still going to be good, all right? But I had to throw this together. Today's a busy fucking day for me. Just because I have a lot of responsibilities to handle this morning. And then I get to do the fun stuff that I want to do. So I'm just trying to like get through all of the responsibilities, this being one of the responsibilities, so I can get to the fun stuff later. And I just did not feel like throwing on like real clothes. I didn't feel like putting together like a full outfit. So I said, y'all going to get some sarong, Maj. Y'all getting sarong coochie today. All right. And if I'm being honest, I have to say that sarong coochie surpasses mumu coochie. I feel like sarong coochie is mumu coochie of the present. Mumu coochie was like grandma. We know grandma got the bills paid in her mumu. Grandma had 13 damn kids in her mumu, but we wearing sarongs now. Now let me try to, if you are not a sarong baddie, let me try to convert you to a sarong baddie, right? I feel like a sarong is that in between like a mumu and a robe, right? Because I'm all three. I'm mumu, sarong, and robe. But with a sarong, you get that wrap like a robe, but you get, you know, it gives you the wrap like a robe, but I feel like it just flows more kind of like a mumu. The mumu usually is long. The sarong can be tied around your waist, so it can be long. Or you could take the sarong and tie it up top too. You know, but they all still give that loose booty in the house coochie vibe. I personally am just more of a sarong girl. And wearing sarongs makes me feel like an island girl. And I'm not, you know, I'm not Caribbean. I'm a nigga. I'm black as fuck. But it just gives me that island feel. So if you a mumu baddie, just consider becoming a sarong baddie. You got to get the right material. I think this is some like cotton or something. I really don't know. This sarong is so fucking old. This is the one that my mother wore in the house growing up. And I was helping her clean out her closet a couple years ago. And she was about to throw this away. And I was like, girl, what are you doing? This has so many memories. She's like, I know, but this is memories from my ex-husband. And I just don't want to wear that anymore. I was like, bitch, I wasn't fucking that man. Give me that sarong. Give me that sarong. And it's my favorite. I love the material. I love the nostalgia in it. I love how big it is. It's not so long that there's mad extra material, but it's not too short where I can't tie it up or tie it down. This, you've seen me, if you see me at play parties, you've seen me in, likely in a sarong at some point. Well, when I used to, when I, before I started hosting my own parties, I used to do my lingerie, start off in the lingerie and move into the motherfucking, move into the sarong, because why the fuck not? You know what I mean? I'm not tired of taking off and on my clothes. It just, it's just a little bit too much. And speaking of too fucking much, all right, I got to sit up for this one. First of all, if you are not watching on YouTube, you can look up the Fun Sexual Podcast on YouTube and you should be watching me there. Like, share, subscribe, and all of the things, all right? Now, speaking of too much, some of y'all be doing way too fucking much, okay? Way too fucking much for me, personally, okay? And what do I mean when I say that some of y'all be doing way too fucking much? I just feel like it is not your responsibility or obligation to complain about the quality of my audio when you are not buying me anything, offering a service, or giving me any money. You take what the fuck I give and you shut the fuck up. Let me be very, very clear. I'm very nice. I'm very kind. But I will curse you the fuck out. I will go off on you, okay? And so for the fact that somebody, my last episode, the audio was trash. I knew that, but I wasn't going to sit here and re-record it. I did the best that I could in the time that I had with the skill that I have to try to fix the audio. But something, one of the settings was fucked up. And somebody went under one of my posts to say, you got way too much equipment for your audio to be sounding like that. How about this? Fuck you. Fuck you. You are sitting here consuming free content and complaining. Shut the fuck up, you loser. Shut up. All right. Now that that's done, there are a lot of losers on the internet, right? And I don't think that we should be some of them. You know, I feel like if you are listening, you are a friend, you are a fun sexual friend of mine, don't be a fucking loser, right? And I feel like we're a lot, this could be a really slippery slope for me right now, but I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there. We do ourselves a disservice oftentimes. I feel like, again, this is my podcast, so I am entitled to my opinions and sharing them. And you tune in to listen to them. I feel like cancel culture is really doing us a disservice right now. Like, I just really feel like we are being very, very quick to cancel people when we don't have enough information to make to formulate an opinion. Are we really about to cancel Lizzo? Flute playing, twerking, ass all on the internet. Lizzo, are we really about to cancel Lizzo? Are we really about to cancel Yitty Lizzo? Body positivity Lizzo? Big girls dancing, Emmy award winning fucking Lizzo? Are we about to cancel Lizzo? For real? And I'm saying that this is a slippery slope because literally 48 hours from me recording this, I could be like, fuck, I should have just shut the fuck up. But in this moment, you know, I really just don't feel like we have all of the information that we need to be deciding to cancel her. And I wouldn't even say that I'm a Lizzo like fan or stan. Like, I don't listen to her music. I don't really care much for her music. She's way too poppy for my personal liking, but I like her messaging. I like how authentic she feels. She feels very much, for me, she feels very much Issa Rae relatable. Issa Rae knows what to do when the songs come on. You know, she eats the food, she does the thing, she has the vernacular, you know, you can go, I feel like I could very easily fit into Issa's family barbecue and feel comfortable. And I feel the same way about Lizzo. I feel like she could very comfortably come to my mama's house for a cookout and, you know, just be chilling and be, you know, just be good and fit in and whatever. I like people like that. I like people that I feel like I can be myself around and be comfortable around. I feel like I like people who I feel like are being authentic, authentic to themselves, authentic to their culture, to the things that they like, to the experiences, yada, 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 all of it, right? So for those reasons, I like Lizzo. Excuse me, there's a piece of lint in my mouth. For those reasons, I like Lizzo. And I just don't really feel like Lizzo was out here body shaming anybody. I just can't. And it's not even just because she's a big girl. Her being a big girl has a part in what I'm saying, but I just really don't. I can't. I'm struggling to see it. And I'm not saying that big people don't body shame, because big people definitely body shame. We have come into this place in our existence in society where we're like, okay, being fat is okay. Being fat is okay. I won't say being fat is like widely accepted and like widely desired, but we've come to a place in society where we're like, okay, being big is okay. But you can only be big in this way. You can only be big and having big thighs and big ass, or being big and having big titties. But if you are like the big with like the huge fupa big, or like Honey Boo Boo's mom big, then it's not acceptable. Like, we do this weird thing where like, okay, it's acceptable, but only if it looks like this and it's desirable in this way. And that's bullshit. And that is so much bullshit. So I'm saying, big people, I'm saying that to say, like, big people still do body shame, but I just really don't feel like we have enough information to be canceling Lizzo. However, if Lizzo is saying and doing some fucked up shit to people, I think that there should be some level of consequence. The other slippery slope about cancel culture, right, is that if you are on the other side of deciding to cancel somebody, people want to cast you out, not even because you were somebody who did anything, but because you're somebody who didn't cast out the person who we've decided to cancel. It's kind of toxic, y'all. It's kind of fucked up. And if we know anything about social media and the internet and all of it, is that you can take anything that anybody is saying and twist it in a way that makes it sound like something that it is not, or changes the whole intention of what is being said. We have some selective hearing and some selective fucking memory, and we know a real good time to pull some shit out from the past that's going to make somebody look real bad. Am I lying? Am I saying anything that's like so crazy? I don't think I am. But I'm sure there would be somebody who would feel offended in that. Do I think that abusers should face consequences? 100%. Do I think that abusers, and I'm not just talking about like physical abuse, I don't think I have to say that, but I feel like I should. I'm not just talking about like physical abuse, an abuser in any kind of way, a verbal, you know, somebody who's been verbally abusive, somebody who has been bullying, somebody who hasn't physically abusive, mostly mentally and emotionally abusive. Do I think that there should be consequences for people who are abusive? 100%. I do. Do I think that consequence should always be canceling? No. I think that sometimes to rectify those things should really be education. Some people don't know that they are offending somebody or violating somebody's consent, or, you know, being abusive in some way, because they literally just don't know. They are seeing things through, we as people in general, we see things through the lens of our experiences, what we've been through, the education that we have gathered, but we don't know everything. I don't know what it's like to be you, and you don't know what it's like to be me. So a situation that I could be going through, we can go through the same situation and see them completely different, experience them completely different, have completely different outcomes by going through the exact same thing. We all know this. We've seen this in our relationships, in our interpersonal relationships. We go through something with somebody, we go through the same thing, and, you know, one person feels it one way, another person feels another way, and the person onlooking saw something completely different. That's just the reality of what happens. So I just think that, you know, we gotta give a little bit more time and space before we decide to cancel people, because this Lizzo situation has been, it's been on everything. It's been on everything. It's been sent to me and different things and different people coming out saying this stuff. Like, come on, y'all. Come on. It's out to me right now. And again, tomorrow something might come out and I might be like, oh, let me scratch that, you know. But I'm putting it out there now. Like, I just don't think that what is being said, I'm not saying what is being said is not true. I feel like it's being said in a very strategic way. If we have to cancel Lizzo, I will cancel Lizzo. I just think that we should wait for more information. All I wanted to say, okay? Now, I'm looking at a piece of tissue on the floor, and I don't know where this piece of tissue came from. But let me tell you what has been blowing my fucking mind lately, right? Completely off topic. I just need to under fucking stand. I'm a cleaning ass nigga. I am a cleaning ass nigga. I get excited for cleaning products and cleaning equipment and shit like that. I like a very clean space. I won't say that I'm like OCD clean, but like I need for things, if I'm going to be existing in that space, I need the space to be clean, right? I clean my floors a lot. My floors get a little dusty. If I don't vacuum and mop and sweep after 3-4 days, I can see, you know, the floor is not quite you know, it's not quite clean, right? I have a robotic vacuum that I run just about every day, unless it gets stuck somewhere and then I forget about it, whatever. But I have a robotic vacuum that runs and cleans my floors every day, right? And every time it runs, it is full of fucking just dust. And I can't seem to understand where the fuck all of this dust is coming from. Where is this shit coming from? My vents are clean. You know, I just changed the vents because allergy season started and I had to make sure that the vents was nice and clean. And I was thinking that that's where the dust was coming from. I sweep and mop these floors. My vacuum, again, my vacuum runs and cleans my entire apartment almost every day. I will just say 5 days a week just to be on the safe side. 5 days a week, my floors are vacuumed for about 2 to 3 hours. Between that, I'm dust mopping. I'm steam mop. I got a steam mop. Oh my God. I love that thing. Oh my God. If you have hardwood floors or laminate or something on your floors, get a fucking steam mop. Steam mops are the fucking truth for cleaning some steam mop. Sanitize it. You don't even have to put cleaning products in. You can just sanitize it. It's great. I love that thing. Anyway, I steam mop. I sweep. I let the vacuum do the vacuum situation. And for somehow, every time I empty out that fucking vacuum, there is dust in there. It blows my mind. It feels like it feels like some fucking magic or something. I just don't know what's going on. So that was very much a sidebar. I needed to get that out because I've been thinking about it today a lot. Today it's bothering me. Now on to better news. Netflix has put out a documentary called How to Become a Cult Leader. And I don't know if I've talked about it on here. I feel like I've probably mentioned it in the past. But one thing worth knowing about Mistress Majesty, I am very into cults and very into like cult leaders. I always just want to get into the mind of cult leaders. And so what I like about this one, number one, it's narrated by Peter Dinklage, who is Tyrion from Game of Thrones. And I'm kind of a fan, right? Let me drink my, I experimented and I made a, matcha chai tea latte. And it's not bad. It's not undrinkable, obviously, because I'm still drinking it, but it's not the best that it could be. It got some work, but it has some potential. Some things I would definitely do different is like less water, more oat milk, probably drop a cinnamon stick in there. And I would definitely add an extra chai tea bag while I'm brewing the tea, just because I like my teas and stuff to be strong. But I digress. It almost matches my top. Anyway, so How to Become a Cult Leader on Netflix. Definitely worth a watch if you are into like cults and stuff like that. Definitely worth a watch. My fascination with cult leaders is like how they think. And I think it's not the same fascination that I have with like serial killers. It's like, how did you think that this was okay? How did you really think that like mass suicide was okay? Or like these arranged ass marriages, or like these child brides? Like, how did you, in your mind, like, what did you tell yourself or do for yourself to tell yourself in your mind, like, I'm doing this and this is okay. Like, this is solid. That is what fascinates me so much about like cults. I don't know. But this one was really good. I like that they really gave like a step-by-step breakdown of like, if you wanted to become a cult leader, like what to do. And they gave you examples, like real world examples of different cults, spiritual cults, fucking like sci-fi ass cults, religious cults, fucking inspirational, motivational cults. Like, and I just think that it's also really funny how no matter the cult, at least the examples that they gave, no matter the cult, it always ended up in some level of like death or bloodshed or illegal activity, or a lot of it had to do with sex. Like, it always ended up into some, like, it always ended up bad in some way. Where are the good cults? Or are the good cults not called good cults? Or are the good cults called like social clubs or like elitist groups. Like, there are cults out there. I feel like there are cults that exist that we're not calling cults because they haven't had a bad like falling out or like mass suicide or some crazy shit. I don't know. But what I do know for sure, I want a cult. I definitely have said that on this podcast before. I want a cult. I have a dream of having a cult. I really do. I want a cult of submissive white men that literally worship me. Literally, all they can do is think of ways to throw themselves at my feet and at my mercy to make my life better. I feel so good when I have somebody begging me to do for me and to help me in whatever ways I need help, or just to be a part of my life and a part of my world, and are willing to just throw themselves at that as the rest of their life. That is the rest of their life, is serving me, making sure that I'm happy, they find pleasure and enjoyment in actually being of service. Like, some people really do. Some people find pleasure in being of service. I also am a service-oriented person. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a service-oriented submissive, but I'm a service-oriented person. I like to help. I like to help where I can and however I can. But I also, on the flip side, I like to be worshipped. I like to be looked at as a godly figure. I like when people center their worlds and their lives around my wants and my desires and my pleasure. I do enjoy that. And that's come to be a lot easier to say. And I think it was really hard to say for a long time. I was somebody who couldn't even like accept gifts from people for a really long time. I had a hard time accepting gifts from people because I was raised to the understanding that if anybody gave you anything, it was because they wanted something in return. And so it was very hard for me to accept gifts from people. But now, let me tell you something. Somebody want to give me a gift? Somebody want to give me some money? Somebody want to do something for me? Yes. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. I love that shit. Now, I want to get into some of what has been a very interesting part of my sex life lately. This is the part where you might want to tune out. I gave the trigger warning earlier, so if you want to tune out, this is probably the time that you want to go ahead and shut that off. But I have been engaging in something lately that I think is really fun, and it was not something that I knew was like a desire of mine. It wasn't something that I necessarily saw myself being or like becoming into, but I have, and I like it. All right, so I have been engaging in a form of CNC, which is consensual non-consent. It's a sort of play. It's kind of exactly what it sounds like. It's consensual non-consent, so you consent to giving up like complete control and all power to somebody else and kind of leaving yourself at the whim to do, you know, the whim of this person to do whatever they want to do with you. Consensual non-consent, also known as rape play, right? And so I have been engaging in a form of consensual non-consent with my primary partner lately, and that is called somnophilia, right? So somnophilia refers to a sexual interest in which someone is turned on by the idea of having sex with a person who is sleeping or being asleep and receiving sexual attention from someone else, right? So the first time that we engaged in somnophilia was after one of my parties. It was late. People had left. I started cleaning up. I was exhausted. I was fucking exhausted. Got into bed and he wanted to have sex and I was just too tired to do it. So, well, I was too tired, but I still, you know, still gave him a little bit of coochie, gave my man some coochie. And then I just got to a point, I was like, babe, I'm tired. Like mid-sex, I was like, babe, I am tired. I'm exhausted. Like, I just don't have it in me anymore. He was like, well, can I keep going? And I was like, yes, but just please don't expect me to be doing much of anything. I am here and I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep. He said, that's fine. And so we were like, and that at that moment I was like laying on my stomach and he was behind me. And I feel like I felt when my body turned off. Cause I went straight to sleep. After he said, that's fine. Okay. Whatever. I went straight to sleep, knocked out, actually asleep, which I didn't know I could sleep while I had dick inside me like that, but I did. Knocked out. He said I like started, he, like, you know how your breathing pattern changes when you sleep. He said he heard my breathing pattern change, so he knew that I was actually asleep, and he just continued to fuck my asleep body. And he said very quickly after that he came because he was so turned on by the fact that I was, by the fact of two things. Number one, that when we have sex generally, he is always so worried and not worried, but he's always so in tune with my pleasure and what my body wants and my desires and making sure that I'm okay and good and fulfilled in our sex, that in this moment he got to be very selfish with his sex and only worry about himself. So number one, that was something that aroused him. I'm trying to see something on the camera. I'm not really sure what that is. But so number one, that was something that aroused him. And number two was giving him that level of access to my body made him feel so secure and comfortable and you know, and loved and appreciated and all of the things in our relationship. So that was a really good feeling for him, knowing that I trust him that much that I would give him that sort of access to my body. So he was really turned on by that. On the flip side, what I enjoyed about it, this is the very first time it happened, and what I enjoyed about it so much was that I could do something that you enjoyed this much, and I didn't have to do much. I was asleep. I wasn't doing anything. I was knocked the fuck out and actually asleep, and he enjoyed it so much. So I feel good about knowing that I can give you some sleepy ass coochie and you love it. I'm a fan of it. Somnophilia. Look that shit up. It's a form of, like I said, it's a form of like consensual non-consent play. And you can engage in CNC in a lot of different ways. You can engage in CNC in like role play. Maybe you might do like some abducted type, you know, role play, or stranger walks into the house and ties you up and stuff like that. And so people who like to engage in that play usually enjoy engaging in some sort of like extreme power exchange or power, you know, some sort of like extreme, usually just some sort of like extreme power exchanging, right? Where one person is pretty much completely giving up power and the other person is completely just taking power from another person. For some people, that's too scary. That's too risky. I want to say some other ways that you could like engage in some CNC play are like random encounters. I've heard of people, I've seen the things on FetLife where people are like, I am in this hotel on this day. The door will be unlocked. I will be blindfolded, ass up in the bedroom, come in and fuck me and leave. Like, they don't even want to see your face. So that, you know, that's a way to engage in consensual non-consent. You are consenting to not have consent. Blanket consent is another way. I used to have a few partners that I had blanket consent. They were like, you could do whatever you want to me, whenever you want to do it to me. Granted, for me, because they weren't like primary partners, I was still checking like, hey, they're like, whatever you want. I'm like, all right, just had to check in and just let me know, you know? Or like some people have this fetish I've heard of where they have this like anytime, any place. I don't know what it's called, but it's like anytime, any place kind of thing. This is going to sound so fucking corny. If I'm putting clothes into the dryer and I'm bent over and my booty is just there and my holes are just open, you could just pop it on in at any time. Or if I'm washing dishes, you could just come up behind me and fuck me. That is, you know, another way to engage in like consensual non-consent play. Now, there are some safety concerns to be aware of and worried about. And for some of them, honestly, I don't even have the right answer. Number one being like safe words. The idea of consensual non-consent is that you are giving up full control. But I just don't believe in not having access to a safe word. I believe personally in my play in always having the ability to say, I don't want to do this anymore. This hurts. This is uncomfortable. Stop. Like, I believe in always having the ability to do that. And so for some people in their CNC play, they don't have safe words, or stop don't mean stop, and screaming and pushing doesn't mean stop. Like, so it could get onto that edge, but it doesn't have to be like that. You can have consensual non-consent and be like, if I say stop, I don't actually mean stop. But if I say ring light, that's my actual safe word. You know, I think that there should always be some level of a safe word to like get out of the scene. Cause you sometimes you just don't know what's going to trigger you. You don't know what's going to bring up something that, you know, some traumatic experience that you might have had, or a fear that you didn't even know you had. New fear unlocked. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen in those situations. So I think it's always important to have access to a safe word, even if you are engaging in consensual non-consent play. Okay. I don't believe in any sort of play where you can't ever say, I don't want to do this anymore, and have a way out of it, and have, you know, means and methods to get out of it, to cut yourself down or to stop whatever is happening in that moment. I do not believe in that. Okay. And then there's like vetting. Before giving that amount of power to somebody, personally, again, my podcast, I'm allowed to share my opinions. You should have a comfortable relationship with that person. You should know that person, you know, in a way that you feel comfortable with that person. I would not just give anybody access to my coochie while I'm asleep. And me and my partner have since decided that, like, if I'm asleep and you want to fuck me while I'm asleep, like, go ahead. Feel free, you know? Just, you know, don't wake me up. Don't actually wake me up. Sometimes I wake up when it happens. You know, and I throw it back a little something like that, whatever. But just, you know, I would never do that with somebody who I was not comfortable with. I trust my partner. I love my partner. I feel comfortable giving them access to my body. I know that they're going to take care of me and my body in that way. I don't have to worry about him coming in me or something that I wouldn't want to happen when I was awake, or like, you know, I just don't have to worry about that stuff. I trust this person. I trust this person wholeheartedly to take care of me even when I'm asleep and completely vulnerable. And I think that that's really important. If you're going to engage in consensual non-consent, you should be with somebody that you trust to take care of you when you are in that vulnerable place, that they won't take advantage of you just because you are being vulnerable, or take advantage of you outside of what you would allow, if that makes sense. Okay. Now let me put y'all on. Okay. This week I want to put y'all on two Honeypot herbal pads. Okay. When it comes to my period, I used to be a tampon girly. Loved the tampons. I got to a point where I was a menstrual cup girly. Got into that. Then I went back to tampons and I went to period panties. And now currently I am a pad girly. And those Honeypot herbal pads feel phenomenal. They feel like if you ever washed your coochie accidentally with Dr. Bronner's peppermint soap and your coochie be tingling, smell like your coochie just smoked the menthol, that's what those pads feel like. It feels like your coochie just gargled with the blue mouthwash that burns the inside of your cheeks, but in a good way. I know this is sounding really violent and kind of harsh, but in a really good way. It feels so good. I like it a lot. I use the overnight ones. They got double wings on the overnight ones. I've never seen pads with two sets of wings. They have some front wings and some back wings. So I put the front wings, you know, on the panties regularly. And the back wings I just put on my granny panties, like up the butt, so that the butt part don't move, you know. And I'm a fucking fan. I'm such a fucking fan. I am so tired of sticking tampons up my coochie when I don't have to. I am so tired of sticking things up my coochie when I don't have to. So those Honeypot herbal pads are my favorite. And if you have HSA or FSA, you can use that to purchase those Honeypot pads. You can use that to purchase those Honeypot pads. And, you know, I just really think that you should give them a try. Okay, so now this is going to be the let me put y'all on. Oh my God, I forgot my own segments. This is going to be the playlist segment of the podcast. So what's the playlist? It's a list of songs to play to. Okay, and so this week we are adding. Let me tell you something. I've been very much in my Victoria Monet bag, and so I am going to add. I've added I think three of her songs in the last like month or something like that, and I'm gonna add another one because I don't care, right? Because she's putting out the fucking hits. I'm gonna add the song "Touch Me" by Victoria Monet. It's a very sexy song. It just fits in with the vibe so flawlessly. But check her out in general. She's amazing. She's beautiful. Really like her music. Check her out. And so you can find the playlist on Spotify, and Apple Music. And if you click the link in my bio on Instagram at THEFUNSEXUAL, the Fun Sexual on Instagram, you can find, the link in my bio to find a link to the Apple or a Spotify playlist. Okay, check it out, y'all. Subscribe to the playlist. If you got some songs that you want to add, DM me, hit me up, message me, email me, however you can get to me. Give me a song to add to the playlist, because I'm just about to keep adding Victoria Monet songs because they be hitting. All right. Now, before I get out of here today, here's what I want to leave you with. And this is going to be a very quick one. I said last week I told you to wash your ass. And this week, I'm just telling you to, like, clean up. Clean home. No one is ever mad at cleanliness. Just clean up. Clean your home. Clean your space. Clean your room. Change your sheets. Wipe down your counters, but not just like around the stuff. Take all the stuff off the counters. Wipe down the counters. Like, just give yourself a nice clean. We are about to be transitioning into a new season. There's going to be a lot of shifts happening. Apparently, there's a Mercury retrograde. Like, just do some cleaning and start to set the space around you in a good place so that you can hopefully stay in a good place in here in your vessel. Because I know that helps me. Keep my mind together is when my space is together, right? So that's all I got. I love y'all. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. Welcome to August. Have a fantastic month. And if you feel so inspired after listening to this, go like masturbate. I just feel like getting a little nut real quick might be a good idea. I don't know. Bye, y'all.